treasuries, they think, are on a rate cut path build unless negated by data events. What? Look, they think that everyone's too short treasuries. They think that the treasury cycle is going to turn, and they think that the market will start to, in an orderly fashion, discount treasuries being bought. And if treasuries are going to be bought because of rate cut, then you're also discounting the dollar weaker and gold higher.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each day he brings you the precious metals and financial news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and in today's market rundown, we're going to update you on the BRICS. Quick update there. A little quick recap of the Fed and touch on some base metals. Okay, tentatively titled Fed Day Hangover. I don't know if that's a good title or not, but we'll just leave it there for the moment. Before we do that, we're going to go to the markets themselves. So let's do that. The dollar is, that's the gold silver chart weekly. The dollar is 104.89, up 20, continuing the bounce of late yesterday. 10-year yield is 4.31, unchanged. S&P 500 is strong, only down 4.5 handles this morning after more new all-time highs. The VIX is 12.22. Gold is 23.11, down 12 bucks. Silver is 29.19, down 48 cents. We'll touch on that in a second. Copper is up about half a penny at 4.51. WTI is 78.12, down 27 cents. Natural gas is 2.88, well off the highs now, down a penny. Bitcoin had a bounce yesterday, but back on its behind, 67,800 and change, down 328, and Ethereum is 3,500, down 58. Platinum, palladium are both down. Platinum down more than palladium today, 897, down $9 for palladium. Platinum, 948, down $14. And in the grains, we've got the usual mixed bag, but it's not the usual roles being played. Soybeans are perfectly unchanged at 11.72. Corn is up 4 cents. Give you a little more height there. There you go. And wheat is up 8 cents. So we're kind of back to the normal behavior there. Okay, just looking at the prices for a moment. Yesterday's price action was CPI came in very, relatively soft, and in doing so, it ignited a risk-on rally, and that dragged stocks, bonds, gold, silver, copper, everything higher. And then as the day waned on, and then the Fed decision came out, we'll discuss that in a second, but the Fed decision made everything retrace a little bit. The problem is it made gold and silver retrace more than stocks. So I think the market is going back to its old ways a little bit. So just be aware of that. And we'll get to those details in a second. But the gold market and the silver market are under pressure now. And it's not unhealthy pressure. It's basically the stragglers that are long need to get out. And I do think we're going to have another washout lower, small. And I think that's going to be where the market could bottom, but it could take a month or two. Remember, you know, I said sideways choppy over the next month or two is probably what I want, at least what I hope for. Okay. Yesterday, we left a lot on the playing field yesterday. Here's the CPI report. Here's gold's path forward, which actually gets into what I just touched on now. That went out this morning at 7 a.m., here's the Fed Day recap and analysis, a very in-depth explanation of what happened. And China gold and dollar death, we unlocked one of those. And there you go. That's it. And then you saw what we did yesterday. The dollar could end up lower on the day. It did. Gold and silver could end up higher. Okay. BRICS update. Now, I just want you to step back a little bit. We're all interested in what the BRICS are doing in M-Trade, and probably there aren't many people that are more interested than I am. But, you know, fortunately, I have a lot of reading and experience and analysis under my belt on all this stuff. So stepping back for a second, as we approach, just looking at it through the eyes of Russia and China, as we approach the October summit, you're going to see more and more press coverage in the East. And that's because Russia is running the show this year. And Russia is like the US in a sense that they're big on propaganda and they're big on raising awareness, right? So everything that comes out, remember last year, everything that was said last year was said by Russia and contradicted by China. But Russia would, some people in Russia would say one thing. And, the point is that there's a lot of hype surrounding this. And it's not pointed at the West, even though it is pointed at the West. How could you not pay attention to it? It's pointed at their own people. They're kind of like cheerleading. They're helping them feel good about themselves. And that's why the West is, the Western press is going to continue to say, oh, we're going to ignore that. And we're not going to pay attention to it. That's just nonsense. It's just them talking to their own people, which is a crucial error. But they can't talk about it and fan the flames. All right. So you're going to see more and more information come out on this, and it'll be harder to differentiate between what's news and what's hype. Well, enjoy it, read it all, and you make your own decision. But this brief conversation is going to hopefully give you some perspective on what's coming. Like, so for example, when Pepe Escobar writes about it, he's very well connected and he certainly knows the industry. He's also going to be a voice from that region. He's a connection from the East to the West. And so, he has a lot of intelligence information as well. He's talking about things now in his most recent writings. He's giving you an update on what's going on, kind of like a real-time update. So it's surrounded in prose and it's accurate. Just know that, this is Russia wants information out there and they're getting it out there and the West keeps ignoring it, but it's true. Okay. So moving on from that. So some factual things. M-Trade is operational and growing with the BS a part of it. That's a fact. Okay. The four counterparties that started it, well, they were really kind of like front men for the bigger players. And it worked. And so now they're all going to start announcing, we're going to join it. We're going to join it. We're going to join it. So it's almost like someone else started it. And the Saudi Arabians join it. The Russians will join it. All these other people will join it, but they're already a part of it. Okay. So it works at the technological level. And they have a lot of the deals hammered out, but they do have some loose ends. Remember, they're going to show their best face right now. Gold and the unit concept are being heavily discussed, bad English and spelling there, in certain circles close to adoption. Whether they adopt the unit's rules per se, we'll cover that again here over the next week or so. Whether they adopt the unit's rules or not, to me, is irrelevant because the unit's premise is solid. They're going to adopt it or a version of it. And that means you're going to have 40% gold or more in whatever they use to guarantee each other's international local commodity trades. Okay. As I just said, Russia is driving the news cycle now and will continue to keep it in the Eastern press. The West will continue to ignore it. All right. The US Saudi Arabia dollar pact expired on June 9th, making it less politically onerous for countries to transact in their own currencies. Now, some will tell you it wasn't official. Some will tell you it was official. Whether it was or was not does not matter. This removes a political obstacle. Is USA going to be mad? Is USA not going to be mad? Well, they didn't call. The date's over and they didn't call us for another date. So it's kind of on them to call us, the Saudi Arabians can say. But they were already doing this. They were already, transacting in yuan, transacting in, gold, really, actually, and transacting in rubles and transacting in rupees. They're already doing that, but I don't mean to minimize it. One of those guys, oh, they're already doing it. What's the big deal? No. It's a big deal. No, it's a big deal because every time they do a deal in another currency, they're not doing a deal in dollars. And then they look at the dollars in their bank account and they say, well, what do I have this for? And they get rid of them. And the dollars float around there and Powell's got to vacuum them up or the dollar goes down. Financial repression is really coming here, but that's another conversation. an obstacle you're going to start seeing. It's been there since the beginning, but they're not going to talk about it. There will be trust issues down the road related to central counterparty custodianship of gold, blockchain or not. Okay. I'm Saudi Arabia. You're China. I'm going to sell you oil. You're going to pay me in yuan. At the end of the month, we'll square up any differences that we need in gold. Okay, that's great. Where's the gold? It's got to be somewhere. Well, we're going to use blockchain to verify it. Yeah, I know. You're going to use blockchain to verify it, and that makes people much more trusting and more comfortable. You know, it's like a proof of life sort of thing, you know? But who's watching the gold? If you... A lot of these guys don't trust each other either, you know. We're not talking about, you know, a group of Democrats, Democratic nations. Let's not talk about Democrats or Republicans. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that all the details aren't ironed out yet. And when you're dealing with a physical asset, such as gold or silver, it's real. And so somebody has to see it. Somebody has to watch it. And I have believed since the beginning that China is moving to be one of the major hubs. So you can store your gold in China. And if you trust them, you know, you'll store your gold in China, kind of like everyone trusted the US for years. But there's probably gonna be multiple hubs. I don't know how it's going to operate, but look at it like an affiliated vaults like the COMEX has or had. Anyway, so look for problems down the road, but you won't hear about the problems till after the conference. I'm just, there's a lot more information that's going to come out. And if any of it is truly new, I'll have an analysis for you. But until now, enjoy it. Take it in and see what's going on. And just marvel at the complete tone deafness of the West as the world changes outside their window. Just pull, you know, it's like our political leaders just pull the shades down and say, nothing to see here. Okay, CPI Fed recap. I did an extended one yesterday. I'm just going to read you a little bit of a report from ING. Again, which I've attached at the bottom. The Fed left interest rates unchanged at 5.25%, 5.5%. Their updated forecasts leave 2024 growth and unemployment unchanged, but inflation projections are higher than previously thought, as they signal they are on track to cut the policy rate only once this year. ING thinks they will start in September with a higher chance to end up cutting rates by more. Treasuries, they think, are on a rate cut path build unless negated by data events. What? Look, they think that everyone's too short treasuries. They think that the treasury cycle is going to turn, and they think that the market will start to, in an orderly fashion, discount treasuries being bought. And if treasuries are going to be bought because of rate cut, then you're also discounting the dollar weaker and gold higher. That's what they're thinking. But the long story short is inflation is cooling. Powell is happy about that. He's not going to pull the trigger. He's also looking at some other factors, and but then stop the market from going up. The market thinks he's going to ease, right? So it really is a fight. Aluminum and copper. They also put out, IG also put out their industrial metals monthly. And again, their stuff is easy to read, but it's not, you know, vapid, right? Our monthly report looks at the performance of iron ore, copper, aluminum, and other industrial metals. In this month's edition, we take a closer look at aluminum, and discuss where we see prices headed in the second half of the year. Now, we have that full report at the bottom. And we just went through that. The market news, nothing special there, nothing new. I do want to comment on this. Brussels will impose tariffs up to 50% on Chinese electric vehicles, brushing aside German government warnings that the move risks starting a costly trade war with Beijing. These people are just idiots. I mean, they're all idiots. And they're idiots who just don't care. All right. If China makes a better product than, let's say, BMW, right, then China is going to sell more of those products. And if the European Union puts a tariff on those products, raising the price, then people won't buy them anymore. They'll buy domestically. So that's your buy European, that's your domestic push. The problem is, and this always happens, if I make a BMW for $50,000 and you make a Chinese EV for $30,000, and the taxes, I'm exaggerating, but the taxes that come in on the EV bring it up to $70,000 in price, well, BMW can raise their price to $69,000. See, tariffs, even if you don't buy the good that's being tariffed, cause domestic inflation. Those of you old enough to remember in the 80s when inflation was very high and American cars were made of shit, you know, the people with money were buying BMWs. You're like, oh, that's expensive. It's a foreign car. Those are expensive. You can't get those as cheaply as you can. And we thought it's because they were foreign. No, it's because we were tariffing them. And we were tariffing them to subsidize, to keep alive our auto industry. So it's happening again in Europe. Europe is just a mess. You know, the U.S. is going to do the same thing, but hopefully it won't be as egregious. Geopolitics. The usual stuff is in there. Hamas is saying, we're going to do what you need to do. And Israel's saying, no, they're not. Russia, but, you know, a necessary update. Russia's nuclear-powered submarine and other naval vessels arrived in Cuba for a five-day visit to the communist island in a show of force amid spiraling U.S.-Russian tensions, according to AFP News Agency. See, this is Russia, right? Russia's pushing back, you know. How would you like to have some Russian ships on the Great Lakes? That's what it's like for them to see our military, you know, in the Black Sea, right? That's how they feel. I'm not saying that I agree with how they feel, but I'm saying, you know, let's bring some ships and put them in Cuba and see how you like that. And we are a long way from having Bobby and John Kennedy from running this country. Data on deck today is PPI. Right. So PPI is pretty important and you can have a nice reaction on that. And Friday is consumer sentiment. And we have the ING reports as promised. They're very good. You don't have to spend a lot of time reading them either. Anyway, I'm Vince. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Well, thanks for tuning into today's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. The show is brought to you each day by Miles Franklin Precious Metals, who we encourage you to consider for your next gold or silver purchase or sale. Miles Franklin has pricing that's among the best in the industry on most products, and Arcadia is proud to be a licensed Miles Franklin representative and happy to help whenever you have questions or want to place an order. Where this week's silver special is 1 ounce Silver Britannias for only $3.15 over spot. Silver Britannia is the sovereign coin from the Royal Mint in England and has the added advantage of being IRA eligible. Place an order, get more information, or speak with me directly. Call us at 833-326-4653, and we'll be happy to help you get whatever you need. So thanks for watching, and we look forward to hearing from you. Please note that this video is not intended as legal, licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.